Bienvenidos una vez más a mi canal, mis queridos viewers y suscriptores. Siempre agradecido de todos ustedes por el apoyo y el soporte que me dan a través del tiempo. De verdad que no iba a ser imposible llegar a este punto sin ustedes, sin su apoyo, sin su soporte. Así que muchas gracias. Y eso siempre va a ser lo primero que voy a decir de mi corazón cada vez que me vean frente a la cámara. Muchas gracias a todos ustedes por hacer esto posible. El día de hoy tengo un invitado muy especial, un nuevo amigo que la vida me regaló. Aunque somos de países diferentes, conectamos en muchas cosas. La entrevista se le va a dedicar a él o el momento, así que vamos a cambiar para inglés en un momento. Pero no se vayan porque voy a agregar los subtítulos, así que ya saben, Darius tiene muchas cosas importantes que decir, muchas cosas interesantes que nos va a gustar, que quizás nosotros los dominicanos no escuchamos de otras voces. Ya dije su nombre, pero nada, aquí vamos. So, today we got Darius Reed, a new wolf to our pack, another brother that life gave us. We play football, we are friends out of the field. Darius has some great ideas to improve the sports here in the DR. And to improve sports overall, like baseball players. And I like his ideas, so I told him, hey, let's talk about those things in front of the camera. Maybe we can reach to someone. Maybe we can help someone. And I don't know, open new path for youngsters coming up. Darius, brother, welcome to the channel.
Hey, thank you, brother.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for taking the time and come here and make it possible.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
So, Darius Reed, who's Darius?
Who's Darius? So, I would say that I'm a son, you know, born in Baltimore, Maryland, for 26 years, lived there, but also I also has had studies in criminal justice. I graduated in 2016.
Interesting.
I'm one of four children of my family, same father, different mothers. We all got college degrees or have college education. Also, I'm a 10-year veteran in the United States Army.
Oh, nice. That's interesting.
Yes. Also, I'm just someone who's like trying to be the best version of myself. I think who's there is, it's like what you see now is not the best version of myself. And I'm also trying to get to that point in my life.
I mean, for me, the process is more important than the goal.
Exactly.
Because you spend more time during the process being better, changing things, improving things, then when you get to the goal, I mean, the path is always more beautiful. Because once you're there, you're going to look what's next.
Exactly.
But the path, you enjoy every moment of the process of being that person that you want to become. So a small parenthesis, and since you mentioned Baltimore, I know a lot of Dominicans would like to know if you met Manny Machado, baseball player, one time, maybe in Camden Yards, Baltimore.
No, never was a baseball fan.
Okay.
But if I were to, like,
I mean, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Okay. That's fair enough. Okay. So, what's a regular day for Darius?
Pretty much my day is just like how I was in the military. You know, you get up early in the morning and start your day.
At what time do you start your day?
So normally I try to start around 6 in the morning, but if I'm having like a hard night the day prior, I start around 8.
All right. Okay. So is it only a military thing that you guys need to wake up early, and or is just you think that all humans, they need to wake up before the sun?
I think it's also for all humans, because I think sometimes when you want to reach something where it's like it's so much time in a day, so you mm-hmm. want to try to get as much as you can done prior, so that way you have the time to in the later the day to enjoy yourself.
Right. Okay.
It's like the saying, the early bird gets the worm.
Oh, yeah, exactly. All right. So you're currently living in Baltimore, or you're living elsewhere? I mean, you don't have to say the address for security reasons, but...
Understandable. No, currently I'm living in Texas, but actually I will be residing in República Dominicana full-time, hopefully. Once I get through the contract and paperwork, I will officially embrace my Dominican brothers, my Lobos family, my Dominican family.
Cool.
And,
cool.
You know, to hopefully bring some type of structure here.
Yeah, you know that it's always, like, I would say, amazing or impressive to see, because what we see or heard or learn along the time is that you need to get out of the DR. But lately I've seen like a lot of individuals from around the globe moving into the DR. I mean, what drives you to come here to the DR?
Well, growing up, you know, urban environment, there are some things that remind me of like Baltimore here, but when I think about what brings me peace in my life is look at the beach, you know, look at the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that the Dominican Republic is really like a diamond in the rough. It's so much like greatness here that people just are so, I'm not necessarily delusional, but so unaware where it's like, okay, they want to come to our country, but they don't know the fact that our structure is more difficult because like, you have to really know, have the resources, have the plan, have the finances. It's just like everything is just so complicated. And then when you come from a third world country to a first world economy, you kind of like don't see the obvious. But
yeah, exactly.
You know, the dream, but everyone sees the American dream. I want to tell people.
Is that real? The American dream is real?
It's not a real thing. To me personally, it's not a real thing because I think it's just a preconceived notion, like what they try to paint on, like, you know, the commercials with the white picket fence, the dog, apple pie, and you know, it's a false reality. You know?
It's a false reality. Yeah, I mean, nothing is easy in life, you know. I mean, I will say that every country has its own reality. We have ours, you guys have yours.
Yes.
And elsewhere in the world that you go, you know, you're gonna see ups and downs, and that's about it. But you say something like very important, and there is a saying in Spanish. I'll try to translate it to English, but you don't realize what you got until you lose it.
Exactly.
You know, and I guess those immigrants when they go to the States illegally, unfortunate, and I will take the time to say that the rules are the rules. And if the United States have the rules to immigrate to their country, I mean, respect it. Mm-hmm. Once you do it illegally, I mean, you can't complain of the consequences,
exactly.
You know, because it might be rough. Yeah, but besides that, when they leave DR, they start realizing like, man, I miss my country. They get homesick very, very quick.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, some others, they don't, which is normal, right? You know, but yeah, I think we should like, as I said in the beginning, about the process and the path. Maybe while you are living here, you should like look to the sides more and not only like focusing on getting out, because you are pointing your vision just to go out of here, go to the States.
Yes.
You know, and you are missing, like what you said, the beaches, the people, the weather, and some other stuffs. But yeah, I mean, that's interesting knowing that that a guy coming from the United States, which is like, I will say, the main country in the world as of right now, coming to live here. And what are your feelings about it?
Well, I'm actually a little nervous because I think, one, because, you know, as I have learned a few Spanish, you know, words, I'm still not proficient to where it's like I should feel confident. It's enough to get by, but I want to feel like that, you know, I'm part of this this culture, you know. I have family that's Dominican. I want to be able to relate and understand, like, you know, because that shows interest that, you know, I value you, not so much just that I'm just a gringo who just has the resources that I think I'm better, because I'm always thinking like I'm just like every other Dominican that just wants to be the best version of themselves.
Exactly.
And have you know, a legacy to you know, to build upon on, and then also to bring something like that's going to help change how we live life today.
Oh, okay. So, can you tell us about your plan? I mean, well, let's go one step at a time.
Okay.
You've been here. You've been coming back and forth for the last 2 years, right?
4 years.
4 years, and now you are trying football, which is what brought us together.
Exactly.
Thank God. And this might be like a very rough question to answer, but I mean, the truth is rough, so I get it. What do you think about football here in DR? What needs to improve? Because we have a lot of other areas of opportunities, and just be honest, you know, don't sugarcoat it, because the ones that are currently playing, including myself, we know the reality of the sport, you know, and it's like we say that the sport's in a coma situation. It might die, it might wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So, but from your perspective, you're coming from a football country.
Yes.
Right? That live and breathe for football. And you've seen like football in another level. You've seen fields, systems, and all of that. Mm-hmm. What's missing for us? I mean, what do we need to do to start getting there?
Well, first off, I would say that, you know, the heart is there. It's just the development portion. I think some guys, you know, are trying to transition from one sport to another, which I think is a beautiful thing because, you know, it gives you inspiration because when you see, like, their fans of the game, and especially in America, it gives them a potential to try to, like, you know, learn something where it can transfer their talents somewhere else. But for, like, I'm going to say the statistics, the development, the funding, you know, and you need people who are coachable and also that are willing to, like, you know, be more self-aware that, you know, sometimes you might think you are the greatest, but then there's always someone that's greater than you.
Exactly.
And I just think that, like, we do need the right coaches because sometimes a leadership is not always the player or the captain like yourself. You know, it's also the coaches. Sometimes you need that type of coach to give you, like, the passion, the drive, mm-hmm. and the will to fight alongside your brothers to go into battle.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've been in so many battles in the field. You know, I played high school, college, semi-pro arena. And honestly, I'm glad that, you know, I came here and found this team because, you know, my first time here, basically it was just about me being a typical gringo, just, you know, I guess just feeling the vibes and everything. But I think if I'd have came to this organization a long time ago, I probably would have found a better version of myself because this is the game I love as a kid growing up, and even as an adult, I try to, like, you know, maintain my health as best as I can.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier that you are finding your way. Do you think that improving football here, or I don't know, well, improving football overall here in DR, you know, might take you one step closer to the person that you want to become in the future?
Yes, because I feel as though I can give myself two more years in this, and I also want to eventually become a coach here and help these guys because my brother, he's coaches at Syracuse University, the Division I top school. They're actually about to be in a bowl game, you know, this coming up week, I think. So
okay,
but football's been in my since my dad. You know, my dad, you know, you guys himself, like, he's won championships.
Yeah, I remember him. He was in a practice and very knowledgeable man.
Yeah,
and hopefully, if everything works, hopefully he can join the team as a staff member. I don't know, coach or whatever, because he will be a great asset.
Yeah, my dad's won championships at the you know, Pop Warner level, high school level, and one thing about me and him is that even though, let's say, one of our favorite teams is losing, we're not going to be like, you know, the refs this, like, you know, like Kansas City. Everybody, like, Kansas City's got the refs in their pockets and everything else. We'll call it like it is. We're very, like, straightforward. And
exactly. Very professional. Mm. Very professional about it. Okay. Oh, let me fix my jersey. Okay. Better.
Get swole, my guy.
yeah. Put in some weight. Okay, so what's the first thing you need that we need to do to get there? Like, I don't know. You already mentioned the important and critical things to do. But what should be the first step?
The first step is getting the right people.
Okay. Getting the right people, like, in the, I will say, the football system here, the teams, or where?
I would say the system, like, far as, like, so let's say, like, okay, we know that in times like this, you know, the income's not great here, but we need to get the right people to sponsor. And then I would say that we need the right talent to go be the brand. Like how this uniform is the brand. We need something to sell.
Since you already practiced the sport in the States and in a higher level and a higher, I will say, higher level overall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you put the uniform here, what do you feel?
I feel like that kid again. You know, that's just like
you said. You have two more years in the tank. I'll say five.
The body. I mean, you know, I've been in the Army, wear and tear, but you know, I try to maintain as best as I can. So five. Well, if you do save me 5 years, you give me 10 years.
Okay. Let's get a drink for that.
Yeah.
For 10 more years.
10 more years.
10 more years. Okay. So, we already talked about what we need to do, what's the first step, and let's say things start to improve here in DR football wise and your situation overall, mm-hmm. like you like it here and all the stuff. Are you like willing to get full into it? At least with the team, because not with the league, because we already know that there are some stuff and some individuals that.
Yeah, because we had to talk before, brother. I always want to like have my own facility, you know. Like I said, I want my own gym, but also I want to try to like.
You heard it here first, right?
Yes.
So
sir.
If this man builds a facility, gets a field, and gets the football going here, he said it. It's 12/13/2024, right?
Yes, sir.
December 13, 2024. Save the date.
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
And, you know, I just feel as though what needs to happen is find the right personnel for the development portion. I think, like, with so much that's, like, the game is always changing and adapting. We need to kind of get with time and also get with, like, you know, those that kind of, like, been developing, like, talent for, like, you know, a few years now. But also I think what needs to be mentioned is, like, film study. Like, looking over, like, you know, certain guys who are in the league today, what made them great, you know? What do they do that they see that to make them improve their game? And I think a lot of times, like, we look at just the physicality, but we need to look mm-hmm. at, like, because like it's like a chess game in football. You got to try to beat your opponent.
No, yeah. And that kind of takes me to the next question or topic. As a culture, you know, mentality-wise and all the stuff, do you think we're missing something as Dominicans? It's like a general question, not only related to sports. So because I already asked you the sports side of things.
Right.
But something important is the culture, right? And because the culture involves mentality and all those things, discipline. And what do you think about? I would say, let's do a comparison. What are in the youngsters' mind in the U.S., women, men? Then same applies your experience here in DR. And what do you think we need to learn from your culture? And what we need to, like, just stop doing?
Well, I would say, you know, be authentic. You know, I think too many people are trying to be artificial. It's like social media has ruined the culture.
Yeah, I agree.
Normally, I would say that, you know, in my time here, I see more Dominicans mimicking American, like, type of personalities.
I think one that is causing more I would say confusion, not to say damage, to avoid our video getting banned.
Right.
Is that it's more in women, like that mentality of I don't need a man, and I'm saying women because women play flag football,
mm-hmm.
right? And they play, I think there is a football version for women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Contact sport, contact football. And I think some of that is also migrating here. It's coming here to DR. And that's kind of worrying because, you know, women are mothers. And mothers are the ones that make players, football players,
mm-hmm.
right? They instruct the kid. They take them to the field. And they kind of are on top of their kids, like feeding the kid, making sure he trains and that he's in the correct path. I mean, women play their part. That's 100%. But as the world is going right now, like I'm a woman and I don't need a man. And I think that is kind of a splitting the things. What do you think about that?
Well, yes, I'm starting to notice that with you see more men and more feminine and more women and more masculine. I think that's disrupting the biological order and genders. And I think that's normally why you see more like you see more women more in the dominant role and want to claim independence, but yet they're not even getting the long term of having a family. So they'd rather have their happiness more than having their own family.
Okay, so they are seeing having a family like a disruption, I will say.
Exactly.
Wow, I mean that's coming here too because as we were talking about off camera, there was one reporter that was saying that there's like an epidemic of single women with apartments, car, or financially free, I would say,
mm-hmm.
but they can't find a man. I think it's because they are trying to compete with the men and match a man. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, that's our nature. If we feel like someone is a menace to us, is threatening us, I mean, we or either reject that mm-hmm. or we fight it. And that's crazy. And don't get me wrong. I mean, also men here, as you said, they are like, I will say, and this will be a question. Do you think it's like the government, the system, that they are trying to make men more feminine every day?
Yeah, I just feel that their purpose is to de-emasculate the masculine of men, to cater to more women's needs. And I think because, you know, women are always having this like victimhood complex. So they'll try to say they're all the majority for that one individual. So they'll try to pretty much be like, oh, that happened, the Me Too movement, which is like kind of barbaric and just like so delusional, the fact that they're taking credit for someone else's pain, which I find is very sickening, that a woman don't really know her own, like, just behavior is just like so unlike characterized. And I'm just like, why are like men are like just, you know, supporting that, when really you can see the obvious that they just want to just be with a woman based off her, you know, assets and the surface level of her appearance.
Yeah. And yeah, for me, women are as important as a man, to be honest.
Exactly.
Yeah. Women play a huge, critical and important role for humankind.
Yes.
As long as they are women, right? And they connect more with their feminine side rather than the masculine one. And again, when that is like, when that works the opposite way or the other way around, it's what leads to all these problems nowadays, that quote unquote, being a man is the problem of the world, right? Being a man is the problem of all human history. And that's not the case, because they are important and we are also important, right? So I always say that you don't have to like denigrate someone to feel like you are superior to another person.
Exactly.
Right? And for me, I mean, that's a complicated topic. It might be something that the system is trying, you know, to... for me, it's like to control birth control.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To keep, like, population low and more manageable. And that's worrying.
Yeah, I just find it kind of strange. And I'm going to say a few things. You know, I've always wondered why is that, like, you know, our grandparents and ancestors were married for decades, yet they had less education, less resources, but yet we have more than what they had, you know, the better economy, better education, better, like, you know, networking, but we're less married now to this day. And I find it kind of strange that women would also criticize men. It's like, so you're saying that men are the problem of this world, so, but yeah, you came from a man.
Yeah, and like it or not, this is a world built by men.
Exactly.
Because when we were at the beginning of everything, when we were cavemen, remember that nobody taught us, like, hey, the woman needs to stay in the cave with the kids, and you need to fight against saber-tooth, mammoths, mm-hmm. elephants. That came like from nature, that the man was always like the protective,
right,
of the house, mm-hmm. in this case, the cave. And according to historians and books and everything, cavemen told women that time, hey, stay here, I'll get the food for the kids,
mm-hmm.
but you make sure they are okay while I'm not here. I mean, I would say nature taught us that.
Exactly.
Because as you said, for our grandparents, there was no technology, I would say, or very little.
Exactly.
So now think thousands of years ago, and how did they learn that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your instincts, you know, tell you things.
Right.
And at the end of the day, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, we're still humans nowadays.
Exactly.
No, and there are like fundamentals and basic stuff that needs to comply so we can get you know, not get together. I mean, like, make it work, I would say.
Exactly.
Make it work. And for the women that are, you know, listening to this show, I say, again, I understand that women are very important for humankind. I mean, They play a huge role.
Exactly.
And we also understand, as Darius said, that men are also not acting like men. And this is there's like this disruption, I will say that. And now that Trump won, I want to hear from your opinion, you know, as an American, because most of the people, or at least some, I would say, presenters here, reporters, they are saying that the Democrats were promoting that, and they were trying to minimize men as much as possible, and that will take place in a very ugly way if Camila would have won. Mm-hmm. Camila would have won.
Mm-hmm.
So you think that's true?
I really do, because I just felt that, you know, it was always going to be like bad for the men, because nothing she did really like gave us any type of reason like to say, you know what, that's someone we can like has as a leader. That's something we can, like, you know, put us in a good position, because, you know, the fact that she herself as a vice president has done a terrible job securing the border, because she was the original border czar, and yet, you know, she put the country in inflation and in debt. She brought in like most the highest illegal immigration in the past 4 years. After Donald Trump was, his term was up, and it's like, you know, the American population just said, you know what, enough is enough. It's time for a change.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's time for a change. So you think it was a great call that Donald Trump won the election?
It was, mostly because, you know, I feel as though you have to run a country like a business. You need policies. You need someone that's, like, firm, strong, and don't take no nonsense. Like, because Trump is a guy, it's like someone that you do not want to mess with. And he's standing on business. And I think normally a lot of us, you know, we gravitate to that because America's normally like the focal point of every country, how they should operate. And normally, like when we have that type of presence, like it shows that we are like the head honcho. So we put you guys in position to succeed or to take on like certain policies that can impact your country in a positive way.
Okay. And something that came to my mind right now, and for me, I don't live in the States, but I have family living there. And we say something here that whatever I was, if the U.S. jumps, it shakes here.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that most of the things that you guys do over there, you know, kind of spells here,
yes.
I would say.
Yes.
And I was worried about this situation, about the gender stuff, the kids castration thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you experience not you directly or a family member, but, you know, like, do you knew a kid that didn't want to become a girl? And, you know, that thing that I know there is a kid that they are trying to ban it, and they dropped his videos every time he uploaded something. That he did that 12 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, I'm a woman. They castrated him, and then he kind of regretted, or how you say it, didn't like the idea afterwards.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then there was no going back. Mm. I mean, that's ugly. Did you saw something like Life View like that?
I didn't have nothing like that personally happen to me. But I would say that, you know, being like, you know, I work with a lot of clients who are transformers, if that's what you want to call them, to be plutonically correct. But, you know, I still respect them for who they are. I just think that sometimes what they're trying to promote in their agenda on children is just corrupt and just inhumane. You know, just seeing how demonic you can be to go against, like, it's like you're not appreciating what God made you who you are. And I just don't understand, like, why would you want someone who doesn't really know anything about life, whose innocence, you want them to try to make a transition to be something that they're not.
Wow. And I mean, it does tough. I mean, in one of my previous episode, of course, for another show, one of my friends said something. He said, like, don't you think it's very ironic that for take a drink, you need to have 21 years of age. But to take a decision that might change your life forever, you can do it with 10, 12 years of age. I mean, that's crazy.
Whoever said that, first of all, alcohol is not, you can always get alcohol, but you can never, like, you know, relive the pain. Because sometimes people fail to realize that most of the time when people make these decisions, and there's a high percentage of them actually committing suicide.
You know, this kids with gender change?
Yes.
Because
the world's not ready to, you know, because you didn't really hear anything about transgender gentrification like until like the modern time. So, and the world's not really ready to fully embrace. And I think that sometimes some people are trying to make the switch mostly to seek opportunities.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I heard some of the stories about men being in a male jail, and then they say, well, I'm a woman. They get transferred to a female jail, and they rape the women over there. I mean, that sucks.
I mean, let me ask you this question. Let's say you had a daughter, okay, and then she's in school when there's a boy who's supposedly she, and they were to share the same bathroom. How would you feel?
I'm taking 25 to life with the director of the school.
And I just think that sometimes people, like, I don't know when society has gotten to this, you know, this freedom of expression to be who you want to be. And you see, like, okay, the long-term effects, it's not like a high percent probability, but, you know, it's just strange that they think that this is what the world needs to convert to.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank God, what's the name of this swimmer, this female girl, white, blonde girl? Ring the bells, raise a voice, because she was getting beat by a biological male in the swimming sport, and that he was changing clothes with his thing like hanging around and all this thing, and she was saying, well, where are women's rights then? You know, that's tough. And following on that, have you dated that, like, Dominican women's?
Unfortunately,
when something starts with, unfortunately, there is a huge story, you know, right next to it. What happened? This is the time, man.
Just many stories, brother.
Which one
should I start with?
Well, the one that one of those women chasing you on the streets.
So, you know, like,
and make you regret coming to DR.
It's like, so my first time, I'm gonna say a couple of times. So I, you know, everyone, the tourists go to Sosua.
Sosua.
Yeah, you know. So I've been there a few times, honestly. And
parentheses, what's, as of right now, what's your favorite spot in the DR?
Honestly, Juan Dolio.
Juan Dolio.
Yes.
You like Juan Dolio?
I love the beach there, man. I'm just all about, I'm more of a, like, a tourist or gringo that loves sightseeing. Not necessarily just, you know, the nightlife. I really like just, like,
Nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, then you came to the right spot. Keep going.
So, you know, I get off the bus. I'm trying to check them out, meet my cousin. You know, they came for the first time, and I literally just walked for like 2 minutes, and I'm already getting approached by a prostitute. Well, yeah, Chappy.
Chappy.
So,
man, you got beaten by one of those?
Oh, man. Well, I'm gonna say, like, well, back in my first time, I noticed that, like, the prices were, like, not too high, but now they're talking about 5,000 pesos,
9,000 pesos,
like, just
for, like, what, 1 hour?
Just 1 hour.
Shit, I mean, that's expensive. Were they hot, or they were, like,
physically, she was decent, but just I saw like, just like. $5 hooker like mentality, or just tattoos in the face.
Tattoos in the face.
I saw, like, man, she might kill you in my sleep type shit. So
I mean can't judge. I'll think the same, man.
But, you know, once I got out the game, I've been trying to find, like, someone to, like, I can build with
to settle here in DR.
But I noticed that with you know, I'm starting to notice that sometimes it's hard to tell who's good or nice, because I look at, like, you know, a girl that has, like, a, you know, education, but she has, like, a chappy mentality, which is kind of like, well, you seem like you have good potential, but yet you're coming off very argumentative, masculine. I don't see the submissiveness. I don't see the femininity. It's just...
Oh, okay.
And, you know, but then... and also, what I think my problem was, just, like, I'm someone who's beyond the surface level. I think so many guys just, you know, like the gulo tetas, and it's like, they just, like, I mean, honestly.
I mean, that's impressive when you are, like, in your early 20s.
Yes.
But then you start to realize that the women's brain is more sexy than the body.
Exactly.
I mean, a well-suited brain, not all brains.
Not all the brains. You can correct me for that one. So, yeah. But, you know, I find it kind of strange that, like, most of the older, like, guys are, like, the ones who are simping the most. Like, these guys probably been through multiple marriages, multiple divorces, so... They just ready just to have fun, but I kind of wish they would be like a, you know, how you are as a captain and mentor for the team, have that same thing for guys who are uneducated, they don't know their, I think what's the problem is a lot of guys don't really know their value.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, as a Dominican, I can say that for some reason, I don't know when that happened. It was there when I came to this world. Or at least when I get into the market, I will say the dating market.
Right.
Right. I'm not a prostitute, just in case.
Hey, okay. Hey, you look like you make some money, man. A lot of women want you. But I understand the wife. Hey, wifey. Hey, it's all kidding.
Yeah. It's all love. We're joking. So, but the point is that here in DR, you have to impress women like hard to get a date. And most of the time, it involves, like, financial stability.
Right.
You know, and there is a guy here, his name is Christian Casablanca. He has, like, an own saying, and I believe it's his. He says, like, this is the only country that you need to be, like, a wealthy man to date a broke-ass girl. I mean, that sucks, right? It's sick. Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, what do you offer? Your booty? Your titties? I mean, that's not enough. As you say, you can get that in a strip club for cheaper.
Exactly.
For less money. And for me, that's what I said. Women's brain are more important when they are really well suited, because behind every man, there is a woman.
Exactly.
Right, and the woman that the men choose, or the man that the women choose, like, because they feel that they belong together, that they can fight against everything together. I mean, it is tough to break up in that type of situation, because they say, like, oh man, this is the man that I love, and he was with me in all times. Money, broke, or whatever, you know, and the other way around too. When you say, like, well, when I was a nobody, this woman trust me, she was betting on me, and he helped me to become the man that I am today. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think that thing like two or three times before breaking up with a woman like that. But when a woman puts, like, financial stability up front,
right,
for me, what do you think will happen when your financial stability goes to zero? She will go to another man with financial stability, because you are already a broke man. So going back to your main thought, you have to throw yourself to the ground to date a woman here. I don't know in the States, but you have to show the women why she has to pick you, and I don't think that's the way. You put your part, I put mine, because we both need to offer something to each other.
Right.
It's not that I'll give the 100% and you give the 0%. That's not my thing.
Right. What I think the problem is also like with this, like, you know, 50-50. That's also been like, I don't know if you heard that before, about like, you know, you have, go ahead. Sometimes that doesn't work because every day is not going to be 60-40 or 70-30.
No, I mean, it would depend, because one day a woman might get a better job than a man. And if she can help, financially speaking, more than the man, that's fine.
Right.
Because if it goes the other way around, you know, the man will provide more financial support, you know, than the women. But again, I think that's the part of the change that the feminist women don't like. Because, okay, everything is cool and pretty. I'm an independent woman and all that stuff. When the bill doesn't arrive.
Oh, my God.
When the bill comes, you're the man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but...
Well, they're going to learn the hard way. But what women need to start understanding that men don't really have to prove much to you. You got to prove something to me, because you're fighting for my last name, my legacy, my resources, my income. For me to put you in a better situation, for you to live comfortably, you have to prove something to them. And a lot of women are just so, like... And so this, like, woman empowerment, like, I'm like, what the fuck is woman empowerment? Like, what are you trying to empower? You know, and it really annoys me.
I don't think it's empowerment. It is just being an adult.
Exactly.
What they call empowerment is just being an adult. That is, I'm sorry, but it's nothing special about it.
Well, it's your job to be an adult.
I mean, yeah, what I'm saying is that... those women, because they are not all like that.
Exactly.
You know, let's make that clear. And we know that there are women with their brains very well placed. And that's rare. That's gold. And that's why you have to go for it when you see one.
You know, it's very fascinating that they do like identity politics when dating. Like, you got to be this complexion, this height. You got to have, like, you know, this type of body type. But then let's say we do the same thing as men. Oh, you are this, you're prude, and yada, yada, yada. You are sexist. I'm like, body shaming. It's just, they just go up. But yet, you're doing the same thing. So what did that make you?
Oh, yeah. Again, equality doesn't reach that far, I guess.
Well, I got a saying like this. Like, equal hands, equal rights. You know, you hit me, I should hit you back. But
exactly.
You're not allowed to do that because I'm a woman. See?
Yeah. Doesn't make sense. So you've been in the military, and like, what's the women rate in the military?
I can tell you it's very high right now.
Oh, really? Oh, that's
but
nice.
I can also
that's
tell good. That it's kind of like a lot of men are starting to notice that they're making certain exceptions. And it's kind of like been that way for some point in time. You know... But it's like sometimes, like, you know, with the way, like, you know, sexual harassment is in a professional environment, you have to be more mindful of what you say. And I just think that when you're in an environment like the military, like, you should be able to speak your mind. That's part of being having the First Amendment right.
Okay. I think at the end of the day, overall, it is good to hear that more women are joining the military too. So.
I mean, they play a big part. I would say that, you know, we got some of the best combat warriors. To be honest, actually, they say the women are the best shooters.
Really?
Yes.
The women are the best shooters?
I'm telling you, my brother, I had one of my friends, close battle buddies in boot camp. She had shot at 38 out of 40 qualification rounds, yeah.
Wow. And that's elite.
She's one of the elites now, but like... I just think that, you know, they help us as far as, like, you know, with our emotions at times. Because sometimes I think a man's, you know, he's too machacho, you know, for a day. And sometimes we need women to sometimes check our egos.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, that's cool. That's good to hear. Again, I'm on the side that we need to support women to become better, because that benefits both of us.
Exactly.
You know, a successful woman benefits a successful man. And a woman, again, like, very mature and, you know, knowing that we are not enemies.
Exactly.
We're free. I mean, we are friends. We are meant to be together. We are meant to complement each other.
100%.
Exactly. You know, when that happens and when that, you know, shows more in the world, I believe that the world will become a better place and a lot of things will change for good.
And I just want to say something like, I just want to know when that day comes, because I think it's got to be a point where everyone, both men and women, are tired of the disingenuous and just like, you know, we should be trying to like...
Yeah, because again, that thing, that's forced by, I don't know, a secret hand.
Right.
This situation, like, hey, let's make them fight against each other. I don't know, maybe, again, to control maybe birth, population. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. But there's something behind that.
Yeah, because I always felt that, you know, like, you know, let's say we had children. What are we leaving for them? Do we want them to kind of go through what we had to go through? It's like with the, you know, the heartbreaks, the disloyalty and the narcissism. I'm like, when are we going to try to create a positive dating world so that they don't have to experience the hardships?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, women, they build men, they build other women. So they are important for the humankind, and hopefully we get to that middle point, to that neutral zone, in which we understand again that we are not enemies, right? We are here to complement each other, to make each other's life better, not miserable. And hopefully that future is not that far, to be honest.
It's not far.
Because I think dating is getting harder. Creating a family is being harder nowadays. It's harder nowadays. And yeah, I mean, kids are feeling that too.
Well, I think a lot of us are starting to realize our worth, and that's why we'd rather, like, you know, be single than to be with someone that we know we're not going to have any type of
happiness.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe there's a saying in English for this too, but in Spanish we say, mejor solo que mal acompañado. Mm-hmm. Better single than with bad company.
Glad to see.
Yeah. So we are almost done, brother. And I want to put you in the spot. Speak some Spanish. Whatever you want to say.
Okay.
Tell your best. No, okay. Tell your best.
Estoy de Darius. Soy de Estados Unidos. Aquí con mi hermano.
Capitán.
Capitán Lobos. Rose. Yo estoy feliz. Yo estoy en la República Dominicana. Me gusta mi familia. Me gusta los... Las personas acá, la comida es buena, las mujeres hay mucho bonita.
Son bonitas las mujeres
un
aquí.
Un poco.
¿Son poco bonitas o muy bonitas?
Es muy bonita.
Muy, muy bonita.
Sí,
okay,
sí.
Okay.
Para mí, yo espero que tengas una buena vida acá. Me gusta la vida, las vistas, las playas, mi perrito. Me gusta.
Yeah.
Yo espero por... mi promesas por el futuro, el fútbol americano por los Lobos, soporte de los Lobos, soporte de la vida por los Lobos, soporte de la familia de los Lobos. Yo espero tener tu soporte por los Toros.
Man, but you're Dominican already. I mean, that's it, man. You have improved a lot. You have improved a lot, but I'm proud of you, man. Yeah, I mean, you get there because you're going to move here and you're going to get more used to the Spanish, more exposed to the Spanish. So, I mean, you're doing great. You're doing great.
I appreciate it. But I will say this, though, brother.
Go ahead.
I really appreciate what you did for me, you know, bringing me part of this journey. You know, I didn't know who I was, like, anymore after, you know, going through the typical phases of, you know, life here. But the Lobos saved me. You guys saved me from, you know, making so many same mistakes. And I don't know where I would have been if I didn't, like, you know, took the opportunity to show you my potential. I hope that, you know, we can grow and make this, like, something even more bigger than us and for the future and for the legacy for the next generation.
No, man. I'm very proud to, you know, to listen to that, to hear those words. And I did it with all the good intentions. And since day one, you remember when we were talking that I said, I feel that you are already one of us. And it's been like that. And you have a family here. You won't be alone in your transition process.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you have your friends, you have your brothers, that we're going to hook you up. That's the word, hook you up?
Yeah, well, somewhat.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm going to call that one. we're going to help you with the movement. We're going to help you, you know, understanding the culture, because it's better when you're guided. And again, feel very proud that you feel welcome, and more good things to come. We have a lot of work to do here, and we're going to take the football to the spot that we understand it has to be. We have the talent, we have the intentions, and if, I don't know, any football player sees this video, baseball, basketball player, whatever, we have big plans for the DR when it comes to football. And as Darius said, I mean, it is more than a sport. You start valuing people as family. You know people that you share like ideas, you share dreams, and that might serve as a bridge for, you know, low-income players or individuals that might not be so good for baseball, but they might have opportunities on football. You know, we just want to make the DR not a football country, because we know we are a baseball country, but we want to, let's say, make football an option for guys that might go far, maybe to the point to win a Super Bowl, maybe, you know, and we want to get the sport to that point. And some last words for the team.
Hey, team, your boy Ocho Rojo's back, you know. I can't wait to, you know, be part of this, guys.
Mike.
You know, I literally just been thinking about you all since I left. It's been a journey. Had to make this transition. You know, you all been with me since day one. And, you know, we had one battle, but I hope to do many more with you and see what we can, like, prosper out of this. I want you guys to know to work hard, man. Don't never, like, give up. Don't never be consumed with the short-term pleasures, for they don't give you long-term solutions. I ask that, you know, just pray to God every day, you know, just train your mind, train your soul, train your heart, you know, to be the best version of yourself, because this is not going to be the end of me, and this is not going to be the end of us. We're going to make Lobos great again. Like Trump said, make America great again.
We're going to make football great again. Exactly. And the Lobos greater
exactly.
again.
So let's make this to be something more than ourselves, but always put our family first, and put your minds and the Lord above, always.
Exactly. So thanks for your words. And if you have come this far to this video, I mean, is that the way to say it in English? I'm translating.
Hey.
If you got to this point of the video, don't forget to like and subscribe and leave a comment. And ladies, if you want to hit the jackpot, here's your lottery here. Here's your lottery ticket here. So Darius Reed, single man, an awesome person, a great human being, cannot value to any human in the world. But for a woman, I mean, the heart is your heart available or not?
Depending.
great answer.
I would say, you know, I'm open, but just come with, like, you know, genuine honesty, and so would I, and let's go from there.
Exactly. Thank you for watching, guys, and see you on the next one. Brother, thank you for making it possible.
Hey,
papa,
thank you.
Bye, guys.
Wolfpack out.
Wolfpack.
Ooh! Damn, we did good.